Spickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Welcome back, everybody. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Vince Murata vacationing. I got some time with Vinny over the weekend.
Did he have a beard or not a beard?
He did have a beard. Looked fabulous.
Calm, relaxed, tan.
Had a mask on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So it looked like he was enjoying his time off. Be refreshed when he comes
he
back.
He was very, very pale. So he's not really spent time sunning.
So he is quarantined.
That to me is the number one. If you meet people from out of state, you're usually actually pretty tan, but I am not.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, you're from Arizona. How come you're not? Why are you so pale? You're from Arizona. Well,
because
it's
115
degrees
well, right,
in the summer. I can't
we can't go outside right now.
Right.
Unless it's 300
pool,
degrees.
I don't have a pool.
Yeah. Totally
plus,
agree
I go
with
from,
that.
I go from pale to burnt to pale again.
Same.
Yep. So the good news is Vinny is alive and doing well.
There we go.
And I'm sure he's going to be refreshed and ready to take over when he gets back. How about that?
Sounds good.
So this is the time of day that we handed over to Sarah Cazell for a little social studies. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
How was your fourth?
You know what? It was nice and relaxing. Got outside for a little bit. Watched Hamilton. Finally got to join the rest of society.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but
neither have I.
Watch it.
I want
good?
It. Watch it. Yeah. It was great. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
You guys have a good weekend as well?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I went to Southern California with the family and encountered a lot of impediments, but nothing as daunting as on the drive back with three kids in the back seat when you pull off for bathroom breaks and nobody lets you use their bathrooms anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It turned out to be quite an issue.
Huh. A little roadside action, that's or how it, do
yeah,
we handle so
they,
that?
Yeah, I mean,
they marked their territory right, on the side of the interstate there.
Right.
Hello, Blythe. Sorry about that.
Right.
I mean, they're probably used to it, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Social Studies is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. You can get the classic chicken slinger or the spicy chicken slinger for only $2.49, a crispy, juicy, all-white meat filet, and at only 350 calories, only at Sonic. Well, you were saying it earlier, Bickley. It's the richest contract in NFL history for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. 10-year extension, what is it, upwards of $400 million? Is that what Schefter said?
Yep, it's over.
Adam Schefter, over $400 million, but they don't know exact numbers yet.
Okay. Jeez, I can't even imagine that kind of money. Mm-hmm. The question that we're starting off with today is, which athlete do you think deserves to be the highest paid in all of sports? So team sports or individual as well?
I think you got to start maybe with LeBron James.
That was the first name that came to my mind when I wrote the question. In 2020, is that still the answer?
It's a good question. I don't think it's going to be the answer for much longer, but I think it still is the answer.
Over Giannis?
Yes.
Definitely yes. Over Giannis, because Giannis doesn't have the international appeal that LeBron does, doesn't have the brand that he does, doesn't get the ratings that he
well,
does.
I guess that's fair.
It's really got to come down between an NBA player and an NFL player and a baseball player, right? Just in terms of the money they generate and all that kind of stuff. And
I would say baseball players are way overpaid for what they actually bring to the team.
Right.
So to your point, Bick,
LeBron James, I think it has to be the guy.
When you said NBA, MLB, or NFL, the top three names that we got in our responses, LeBron James, Mike Trout, Patrick Mahomes. But we did receive a few other multiple responses for Giannis Antetokounmpo, Alex Ovechkin, and Serena Williams.
Interesting.
Yeah. Who else?
Someone like an individual sport, like a golfer, like a tennis player, or a boxer. They all compete for the money they earn. If
right.
you take away the sponsorships.
Yep.
So Serena Williams is, you know, if you took away the sponsorship, she's the highest paid player because she wins the most tournaments. I mean, not anymore, but you know
I was
going
to say, isn't that Naomi Osaka now?
Well, I was going to say that.
I think
about
she bypassed
Naomi
her.
Osaka, but, then, you know, but when healthy, she's still the best.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's hard to really compare the two, but the answer has to be either LeBron James or a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Well,
what
Patrick
do you think?
Mahomes. Who do
since,
I think?
Yeah, since there's no Vince Murata or
oh, Luke I get to
Lipinski.
Be Vinny today?
Yeah.
I think who deserves to be the highest paid?
That's what it says. Yeah, you just read it.
Thanks, Jarrett.
Yeah.
I think it's Patrick Mahomes.
He's just won the Super Bowl. It's hard to argue against them.
Yeah. And I mean, he just, yeah, the, I mean, he's the league with the most eyeballs on it.
Yeah, exactly. He's right there.
Taking over as the face. Maybe not quite the face yet, but like about to be there. So as far as the future goes, I think it's got to be Patrick Mahomes. Moving on to our second question today. Who is your favorite athlete of all time from a non-team sport? And the reason that we're asking this question today is because, Bickley, you said earlier you believe that Bryson DeChambeau could be the next big star in golf.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest since Tiger Woods, no?
Yeah, the biggest attraction for a couple of different reasons. Yes. Yeah, I think it's more freak show related than domination
sure.
related. But yes, I do believe that.
Fair enough. Okay, so again, the question is, who is your favorite athlete of all time from a non-team sport? I can read some names if you need time.
You can consider Olympians. You can consider tennis players. You consider golfers.
Boxers.
Yep.
Boxers.
Track athletes. Swimmers.
That's a tough one. I mean, John McEnroe, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, Muhammad Ali. I don't know which one I would choose out of all those. Who are you taking?
Not Tiger Woods?
Yeah, definitely Tiger Woods, too. He's in the mix, yes.
But you don't have a clear favorite?
I don't think so.
It's hard. I mean, all of history, so many different sports. I don't know if I have a favorite.
If I had a vote who I think the best was, I would say the best is Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Jarrett, do you have a fave?
Tiger Woods, when he was in his absolute prime, and I never grew up a golf fan, but when he was in his absolute prime, it was such compelling television to watch, like, the Masters or something when he was dominant. And I don't know why. And I used to love also Pete Sampras.
When,
I know he wasn't excited.
Why did you like him?
Because
the hair was like yours.
The hair is like mine. That's true.
That's what you liked.
That's true. I don't know. And maybe it's because I was young during this time. There's something about when the person is the best of the best that you get drawn to them to watch absolute greatness like that most of the time. I remember I loved Lennox Lewis. He obviously fought not in the greatest time for heavyweight boxers, but I always liked boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of professional wrestlers. I don't know if that's a pretentious answer or not, but Bret the Hitman Hart. When I was young, Hulk Hogan.
Ridiculous.
A little bit. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Usain Bolt also.
Yes.
Because I ran track in high school, and during three Olympics, right?
I think that's right, because he was a little bit older in that last one.
So compelling, and it's absolutely, to watch dominance like that, and he was so charismatic that I loved Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
I don't know why I forgot about him. I agree with that. That's a good one to throw in there as well.
I was surprised to see, I don't think there are a whole lot of Usain Bolt responses in here. I don't think he even shows up once.
Yeah, it didn't even cross my mind.
So I think the most responses that we got there, a very wide range, including Apollo Anton Ono, which I love. When is the last time we... Speed skater.
How about Joey Chestnut?
Yeah, fabulous soul patch.
Oh, and the red bandana.
And the red
bandana. But probably the three who showed up the most.
Don't mention Joey Chestnut, Carlin. Yeah. 75 hot dogs? Really?
Domination.
That's just disgusting.
It is. It's so disgusting. Did you guys watch?
I forgot that it was on.
I'm kind of in the Peter King camp of this. I think it's just
sinful.
It's gluttony at its worst. That's a little too far.
I
wouldn't call it sinful.
I always think that I hope that they donate as many hot dogs as they eat. They donate to some kind of food bank or homeless shelter or something. Because otherwise, it's the absolute worst showing of gluttony in the world.
Totally agree. Quickly, the three... probably most responses we got were Jesse Owens, Muhammad Ali, and local guy Phil Mickelson. But we also got, like I mentioned, Apollo Anton Ono. My picks, I don't know if I have a clear number one, but Simone Biles and Michael Phelps, both of those names show up in the responses. Michelle Kwan, figure skater. Mike Tyson. The Rock.
I never liked... Phelps, Michael Phelps.
You didn't like him?
No.
What?
I think that's maybe partially because he erased.
He's from your place. He's from your neck of the
Baltimore,
woods.
Baltimore, right? Yeah, but he took my man Mark Spitz out of a lot of the record books there.
Why was Mark Spitz your man, Jared?
He was one of three, like, athletes, like a young Jewish boy ever, like myself, learned about.
Okay.
You'll appreciate
and
this, Jared.
Mustache.
Lonnie Randall said Triple H is his favorite.
I hate him.
Oh,
never
okay.
liked him.
I was like,
overrated.
Oh, WWE, great. Okay, never mind. It's 1:12. Should I do the last two questions or should we hold off?
Way to show leadership, Carlin.
I forgot what the questions
the
are.
The questions, greatest athlete with an animal name,
yeah.
Mike Trout question, and then
we'll get into that
names.
Later. I want to read some of the responses.
Then,
we'll do that
okay.
one later. What's
one.
The one after that?
Best and worst team names of all time in the four major American leagues.
Those are some really thought-provoking questions.
I know.
You could save those. We could get to those tomorrow or later.
Yeah, there are
show.
A lot
those
of really
those
good responses.
Pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Sarah. We
yes,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up on the other side, the Phoenix Suns making a lot of news today. We'll update you on Kelly Oubre and a report from the New York Post regarding Devin Booker. All that coming up. Dan Bickley, the little Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Bickley and Murata.
What we've seen is that we're a team when we have more possessions. The way we shoot the ball, how efficient Devin is, how efficient Ricky is, with Aaron Baines stretching and shooting threes, giving us a huge offensive lift. We just need more possessions. And so we're focused on how do we get more possessions offensively, without being reckless, and then defensively, are there things we can do to secure more rebounds and to play our game?
All right, that the voice of James Jones talking about the Phoenix Suns and their chances in the bubble. What an amazing juxtaposition it is, hearing James Jones and this basketball team talk now with excited terms about going to the bubble, where they're going to be safe, where they're going to be removed from all the madness, versus what's going on in Major League Baseball. Quite a juxtaposition. Then you look at the Phoenix Suns and what has been said in the last 4 days. Earlier today, we played some clips from DeAndre Ayton for you. DeAndre Ayton, as he often does, says exactly what you want to hear, with a lot of the optimism, and says that his basketball team is ready to rip people's heads off.
What game are you most looking forward to, DeAndre?
All of them. I'm looking through every game. It's an opportunity for us to really show what we got. And it's a blessing as well. It's a little window to make the playoffs and make some history. That's all that's on our mind. And, you know, we're hungry. We're young and hungry, and we're ready to play. That's just what it is. Quarantine gave us some time to really take a break, take a load off, take a breather, and now it's back to work.
Now, he not in any of the cuts that we have played, but I read that he also said he's used his time to – he's lost sleep playing video games. It was the yin to the yang, right? That's exactly what it was.
I'm telling you, because he made the finals, if you remember, right, against Devin Booker in
he
that
did.
Tournament.
Yeah, he did.
If you could win an NBA championship based on your video game play, the Suns,
they'd be a
gotta
dynasty.
Have the yeah,
they'd be a dynasty.
They're the you know the 70s, the 60s Celtics.
They would be an absolute dynasty. All right, so the DeAndre Ayton thing, that's what he spoke of, and he sounded excited, and that's what you want to hear. I'm looking forward to seeing what he puts out on the court, how many minutes he is capable of playing, what his cardio looks like. There is going to be a great reveal when these basketball games begin, when you look at minutes played per game, of who stayed in shape and who didn't. And yeah, they got time to get in shape, but I think that we're going to see some of that play out. Then there's the Kelly Oubre story. Once again, for those who have not heard, James Jones spoke of Kelly Oubre as if there's an open window, as if there's actually still a chance that Kelly Oubre might play basketball again this season.
It's a challenging environment for anyone, specifically for athletes that are trying to recover from injury. You can't come to the gym. You can't go into the therapy clinics. You can't get on the court. All you can do is just sit and wait. And as an extreme athlete, you can't rush that back. And we've always said that our goal has been for every single one of our guys to improve and to build towards being able to play. And Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing. And so my expectations for him are the same as every other player. Come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play. And hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
Hopefully that's before Orlando ends. Now, that is a distinct and staggering change in tone from the reports of Kelly Oubre deciding to shut it down and not play competitively. Now, we know what Kelly thought about this during an interview with Cam Cox. He was on the fence. He's like, you know how I am. You know I'm a warrior. You know I'm a dog. You know I want to get out there and lace him up, but not if we're in the trenches and not if we have to kind of slog up the mountain just for a shot. And so he was basically saying, I'm not going to risk my future for fool's gold, okay? And then came his declaration, not his declaration, but a media report that he was just not going to do it. And that would have been completely against how Robert Sarver, the owner and the man who was paying him, thought he was going to react. This right here is an about face. This is leaving the window open for Kelly Oubre, and it's one of a couple of different things. It's either the Suns just being vague and hoping against hope that Kelly Oubre changes his mind. Maybe it's because when reports came that Kelly Oubre was shutting it down, it was made clear at that point in time that there might have been a disconnect, that clearly the two sides hadn't been talking to each other very frequently. And then on top of that, Kelly Oubre, it's a situation where if he has come back to the team and been exposed to the team's medical staff and gone through everything that they've gone through, maybe there's a new diagnosis.
There is a possibility that the situation, that the circumstances have changed in the last week and a half.
Right. And so maybe getting around the guys and playing basketball has made him feel he's in a better place than he was. It could be that. And if that's the case, I'd be really, really hopeful about that. It could be these guys getting back together. It could be Devin Booker sitting down with Kelly. It could be all of them sitting down going, man, you sure you don't want to do this? We got a shot, man. All right, you know what? Let's go down. Let's see what it's like. This is something that I think is pretty pretty fascinating. I'd be very encouraged as a Suns fan hearing that. I hope there's some fire behind that smoke.
Yeah, I guess just wait for the next, because we got excited he might come back, mm-hmm. and he's not coming back. Now we might get excited again.
And again, the fact that Kelly, or the other option could be just basically the team having base level expectations for everybody, that if you're going to be part of our practicing component, then and if you're going to be with us in the bubble, then keep the window open. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if you're down there rehabbing and practicing with us, and why don't you just wait and see? Because maybe near the end of it, if we get off to a good start, you can come and make a huge difference. Fascinating. It's everything that I wanted to hear. It's all coming from the Phoenix Suns in the matter of like 6 days.
It's true, yeah. DeAndre Ayton looks great, and he's excited to play and all this stuff. Kelly Oubre right. might come back. We're excited.
And meanwhile, finally, the last story that I had flagged earlier today that really lessens and pales in importance compared to these other ones.
Because it seems ridiculous.
Well, yes and no. Yes, it does. Mark Berman has covered basketball for the New York Post forever. Okay, so he does have his sources. He isn't always throwing darts. This is what he had to write about where the Knicks are going to go with their revamp front office. He said, since Leon Rose was hired as president, the player to watch out for most is Suns combo guard Devin Booker, according to league sources. Okay, that's interesting. So if Leon Rose hires Tom Thibodeau, Karl-Anthony Towns, a former Rose client, no longer makes sense because of their history. Okay, that makes sense too. Booker and Towns were Rose clients who played at Kentucky, which means Knicks advisor William Wesley is close to each. That is definitely true. Quote, Rose has done well with Kentucky standouts because of Wesley. So he points out that he believes the New York Knicks have pieces in place to make a real strong push for Devin Booker. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it's the end none of us want to face, that Devin Booker gets sold on people he trusts in New York, come be the centerpiece of this. And then he asks for a trade.
Unfortunately, the Knicks can never put together enough good players to make a trade like that ever happen.
Yeah, and I think what would happen in Phoenix, I don't think that the Suns would just throw up their hands and say, okay, New York, all right, we'll make it happen
also,
for you, Devin.
This is a narrative that everybody keeps trying to write, except for Devin Booker. He's been perfectly gruntled the whole time. He has not been disgruntled at all.
That's good. That's pretty funny. Perfectly gruntled. Yeah, there have been a couple of cryptic moments, a couple of cryptic
comments. Next year is a big year.
But that's it.
Next year is a big year. Because if they don't improve that much and it's another... Like, this season was not as good as people were hoping. And then the weirdness happened, so it sort of gets written off. But next year is a big year.
They're all big years, Jared. They're all big years.
Yes.
All right. As of right now, the Suns are projected to leave for Orlando tomorrow. So it's on, man.
We're on airport watch, I guess.
It's going to be on. All right. Coming up on the other side, it is a Monday. That means we're giving up out some hardware. That's next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right. On the front page of ArizonaSports.com, how many of the Suns games from Orlando will you be tuning in for? Every game? Until they're eliminated from the playoffs? Or I'm not tuning in at all?
Well, we watch every game, so we shouldn't be voting in the poll. But
I would think that there's only 8 games.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah,
and you haven't seen them in 4 months,
right? But what happens if all of a sudden you get this brand new wave of excitement, which we're getting? You tune in, and Devin Booker's getting 10 minutes a game. DeAndre Ayton, 11.
That's it. Hopefully, they don't start.
Ty
that
Jerome,
way.
28 minutes a game.
Whoops.
Cam Johnson, starters minutes.
Yep.
Then you might watch 5 games and go, eh.
That's true. Well,
depends how they react to it.
Let's say,
man,
until they're eliminated from the playoffs, then. 55%.
Yeah.
Not tuning in.
Oh, come
according
on.
According to this poll.
How many people have voted in it?
It doesn't say on this
All
one.
Right.
There's 30% every game. Only 16%. Until they're eliminated.
Right.
But that's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Handing out the hardware.
We do it every Monday, even when there's not a lot of live sports to talk about. It's called Hardware. It's our own make-believe award show. Jared Carlin, you are riding shotgun today. You are first.
All right, this is the All's Quiet on the Western Front Award, and it goes posthumously to Ennio Morricone, who passed away today and is best known for his musical scores in Westerns, including The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
The most, when you think of those old spaghetti Western music, this is who you're thinking of. Though,
the soundtrack, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly is phenomenal.
And this is what he did. He did that full trilogy, and then he also was featured a lot in Quentin Tarantino movies as he got older. Sampled a lot of his music. He also wrote new music for Quentin Tarantino. So Westerns would be a lot quieter if he weren't around. So,
okay.
Very iconic.
A tip of the cap
composer.
To him. All right, sounds good. My first award would be the Fly Me to the Moon Award, and I'm giving it to the company that is going to sell balloon rides manned by a flight crew to the moon. They will allow 8 passengers in a pressurized capsule beneath a hydrogen balloon the size of a football field. Pressurized capsule attached to a hydrogen balloon big enough to be the size of a football field, $125,000, 6-hour journey. How about that?
This sounds
Would you do that?
No. I'm scared to go on an airplane.
I'm telling you, this is going to happen, and this is part of in that Ad Astra movie that I told you I dove into. There's going to be this. There are enough people with stupid money in this country that will go, and in this world, that will fly to the moon, you'll land, you'll go into a pressurized gift shop, buy a bunch of t-shirts, take a bunch of selfies, take a shot of planet Earth below, and head back down. You watch. It's going to happen.
Well, the lot doesn't seem plausible about that scenario you presented with the balloon going to outer space.
Well, the balloon one, I'm not sure I'm quite buying it either.
Well, they're already doing citizen.
The problem is that you need the rocket fuel, the energy you need to send rockets into space, it's prohibitive. If you're sending a balloon, it's a different story, man.
The problem is that it's just a waste of money for really rich people to waste it on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, the next award is the I Hope They Don't Let Him Finish Award, and it goes to Kanye West, who announced he is running for president. And I don't have much to say, but he's already got the endorsement from Elon Musk. What made me think of that.
So Kim Kardashian would be the first lady.
First lady, yeah.
It's a new era, man. Anybody can be president.
You absolutely cannot write off anything anymore as being a publicity stunt or too ridiculous to actually be true.
Well, it's true. My next award is and you're going to find you had two West-related awards.
Yep.
So you're going to find a theme in mine now, all right? The next award is the Ew Award, and I'm giving it to the company that is marketing a cologne that smells like outer space.
What?
Mm-hmm. It's a project developed by an ex-NASA scientist who has developed a fragrance called Oh the Space. According to CNN, this has been in development by a chemist who worked for NASA. All right? Do you want to know what it smells like, Jarrett?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay. Astronauts have reported experiencing a very peculiar space smell when they remove their helmets after a spacewalk. They call it a meaty, metallic smell. You found it, did you?
I just Googled what does space smell like.
Yeah.
And there is interviews with astronauts that say just what you said. A metallic odor, sort of strange, a little bit like a combination of gunpowder and burnt steak.
Look at this. I mean, they say astronauts claim space smells like fried steak, rum, and raspberries.
Well,
I'm going.
In that case.
Yeah, in that case.
Well, let me tell you, you got that number for that balloon ride again? That sound pretty delicious.
All right.
All right. My next award is Smash Mouth Must Be Sad Award, because there will be no All-Stars this year in Major League Baseball, as they have canceled the All-Star game for the first time since 1945.
Wow.
And we saw that coming in a 60-game season. I do wonder if they're going to do something after the season and award All-Star berths and stuff like that, sort of like the NFL would do for All-Pro, not going to be an All-Star game.
Good point. Really good point. The Bad Timing Award, Jarrett, is to the four universities that officially made the jump to Division I athletics. They are Bellarmine University in Louisville, Dixie State University in St. George, Utah, Tarleton State in Stevensville, Texas, and UC San Diego. The precarious timing comes at a time when Division I athletics, who knows what it's going to look like in a few years? Who knows?
Who knows what's going to look like the end of this year for any college athletics at all. I'm sticking with college also. I'm so mad I'm seeing Crimson Award.
Goodness.
And this goes to Harvard University. Did you see this?
I did.
They are doing 100% online classes this year, but they're still charging the full $49,000 per semester tuition fee, which seems crazy.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. I read that, and I also read people predict that this could be the pin that pops the college education tuition bubble.
Bubble.
If ever there was a bubble that needed to burst, it's that one.
That's gone out of control.
That's when people step back and go, no, not happening. That's interesting.
Yep.
All right, now that's a Panda Bear Award I'm giving to Pablo Sandoval. Jarrett, this should be right up your alley. Did you see the picture of Pablo Sandoval?
I saw a headline about it, but I didn't see the picture.
He looked just stupendous.
Now, this is a recent picture?
Yes, this is like 2 days ago. The Athletic's Andrew Baggerly tweeted out a picture of Pablo Sandoval, and he's never been fatter.
I love it.
Yeah, right. I knew you would. I'm surprised. Again, this is this kind of story or picture eluding your purview is really...
I am aware of the story. Oh, my goodness.
See what I'm talking about? It's so bad that Andrew Baggerly, who tweeted out that picture, apologized for it.
Now, I remember when he first got he signed with Boston, and it was spring training. And do you remember there was a picture circulating of him warming up? And he was so fat, his stomach wouldn't fit.
Right.
So he was throwing, mm-hmm. and his stomach, like, swayed to the side out of his jersey and was, like, hanging over his belt as he was throwing.
But you know what? Dude can still rake, Carlin.
Dude can still get paid, too.
Yeah, he can. That's right. You got anything else?
I'm done.
All right. That is Hardware. We do it every Monday. Coming back, we're going to examine a couple of very interesting poll questions that did not get answered in social studies. That's next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly and Murata, song of the day.
Georgia. All right, today's song of the day, Charlie Daniels, the Charlie Daniels Band, passed away. I'm not sure there was ever a more popular fiddling song.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think of what are some other fiddling songs.
I had a friend who liked the Charlie Daniels Band, and there was another song he did that was cool. It just came to mind. And
I don't know any other songs.
Yeah, I'm going to find out what song that might be. Oh, yeah, Long-Haired Country Boy. That was one of his hits.
He's considered a legend within the country music circle, the genre.
Well, he's a tremendous fiddle player. He played guitar. That's where you got ding-dang-do from.
Yeah. And this is a pretty good song. Catchy.
Oh, man. Oh, the South's going to do it again. That was his other hit. Somebody just texted me.
Yeah, what are they going to do again? Also, the fiddling is not that great in this song.
It's not? Yeah, they're fast. That's just straight up the fretboard. Or whatever you call it on a fiddle.
Anyway, he's about to curse on him.
No, I'm kind of funny. It's kind of funny. All right, a couple things that we wanted to get to before we get out of here today. All right, a couple things you threw out that are very interesting questions. Number one, other than Mike Trout, who is the greatest athlete or celebrity with an animal name? Now, the first one that comes to my mind, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, that's a great answer. In fact, I would say Mike Trout is better, but that's,
I would agree with
easy
that.
Number two.
Michael, hold on a minute. Wait. We just have to understand the enormity of what we just said. Are we saying Mike Trout is better in his sport than Larry Bird was in his sport?
Yes.
Wow.
Mike Trout, you can make an argument, is the greatest baseball player of all time. Larry Bird is not.
I don't think that's generally acknowledged. I think that maybe Mike Trout is a little bit more in the Larry Bird vicinity and maybe even behind Larry Bird right now for what he's accomplished, Jared. Now, what he has.
Well, that's it, though. Larry, it depends how you define it, because Larry Bird won the championships, which Mike Trout has not even won playoff games, really.
Right.
So you can't compare him in that way. That way, Larry Bird far exceeds him. but as actual who's a better player at their game, Mike Trout is.
I don't know. I don't know what I feel about that. I don't know. I don't feel like arguing with you, and I don't feel like saying you're right either. I don't know. It's weird. I think that's a really... I think we just stumbled into a really iconic kind of question.
That is an interesting debate.
Here's some other answers. Bear Bryant.
Good one.
Tim Salmon.
Tim Salmon, I always, and I've said this before, but I've always felt bad for it. Imagine not even being the best Angels outfielder with a last name of a fish of all time.
Think about that.
And he's good, too.
I know.
He's still, like,
I know.
As good as Mike Trout.
I know. You think about that.
Tony Hawk is a good answer.
Oh, that's a good one. Somebody put Tiger out there.
Michael J. Fox.
Tiger's name was Eldrick. It wasn't Tiger. Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, somebody who didn't quite get the question said Secretariat.
Lynn Swan.
Goose Gossage.
Now, again, Goose is a nickname.
Yeah.
But then again, Tiger is his name. He changed it to
that's
Tiger.
That's what he goes by, also.
All right.
A lot of Larry Bird and Sid Finch. That's not.
Why
a
did
person.
Somebody answer Lawrence Taylor?
Don't know.
Where in Lawrence or Taylor is there a name of an animal?
Jake Lamb.
Can you tell me that?
Nope. Jake Lamb.
Somebody said, "Don't sleep on Marty Fish."
Ah.
Marty Fish is a tennis player.
Robin Yount. Jimmy Fox. Sue Bird. Fish from Barney Miller.
Megan Fox.
Ah, yes. The Big Tuna. A lot of Tiger Woods. A lot of Tony Hawk. Lionel Messi? I don't, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Like a lion?
Ah.
But that's not his name.
Who's better, by the way, Mike Trout or Larry Bird?
Larry Bird!
No, you're wrong.
No, I don't think she's necessarily wrong.
It's how
I think
you define
Mike
it.
Trout. Mike Trout is arcing to become one of the best baseball players ever, but I don't think I certainly don't think he's universally accepted. And when you talk about impact, fame, the impact on the sport,
yes.
Larry Bird far surpasses Mike Trout
by far. That's not to say Mike Trout can't get there, but he's not there.
I don't know. I disagree. I think what he's done. It, statistically, and it's purely statistics because it has not translated to wins or championships.
Right.
But statistically, Mike Trout, the first whatever how many years of his career, MVPs, one of the greatest of all time.
All right, the other Bickley and Murata question that you put out there was the best and worst team names of all time in each of the four respective majors. That's asking people to do a lot of work, Jarrett.
It is.
Right? That's eight different teams off the top of your head.
Yep.
I'll say this. Off the top of my head, you're going to like this answer. I always thought the Orioles was a unique team name. And I always loved that old logo.
Oh,
the happy Oriole.
Yep. And the black and orange.
Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, the problem with that name, though, is anything named after that kind of a bird. There's one thing if you're named like a hawk or an eagle. But when you're a cardinal... When you're a Blue Jay, when you're an Oriole, and you're just a tiny, non-threatening bird.
Yeah.
I always thought those
made
for...
How do you compete with the Ravens and the Eagles?
Yeah, those made for weak names.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. In Major League, I've also liked the Pirates. Arrgh. The Mariners is cool.
I think the worst name, the Browns is a terrible name.
Oh, that's the worst.
Because it's named after a color, but it's not named after a color. It's named after a person with a last name Brown. Their helmets are orange and not brown for some reason. The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
Pelicans, do you think that's good or bad? It's unique. That's an interesting one, too.
I don't know. There's so many better options for that franchise.
Here's an easy one. And we talked a lot today about teams changing their names.
Yeah.
And that should change their names.
Mm-hmm.
How the Utah Jazz never changed their name.
That's a great point. Or the Lakers.
Yes. The Lakers, if you don't overthink it, I guess it's fine, but
you certainly don't
associate Jazz with Utah.
No, but everything about LA and California is one big body of water, not lakes.
For sure.
Minneapolis in Minnesota, there's 10,000 lakes.
That's what they say.
Famously, actually, there's over 11,000. But it's a little neater to say over 10,000 lakes.
Oh, 11,000 is over 10,000, so They are not lying.
That is true. No, that's exactly right. So the Golden Knights, where does that fall on your scale? That's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's cool. I think they still could have done even better with that. Las Vegas is such a unique, interesting city that it really could have been like the Sin,
yeah,
or something like that, or I don't know.
I don't know.
The Clippers is pretty awful.
Clippers is terrible. The because Raiders is a great name.
Raiders is great. Pirates is good.
Pirates is good.
Steelers is good for one.
Steelers is really good.
As a regional name.
Does Predators work for Nashville? No. Maple Leafs is good.
Predators is good in the sense at least that it's unique. And there's not 100 other teams with that name. There's no other teams with that name. The Devils is good because the New Jersey Devil is one of those fictional urban myth creatures.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo Bills, okay, that's one I always hated because their symbol is a buffalo, but Buffalo is the city. Buffalo is not the team name.
Right.
What is a bill? It's named after the cowboy, right?
Well, I don't know.
Buffalo Bill Cody?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Right. It never made any sense to me either. Buccaneers is a good one.
I'm sure there's some really old-timey ones.
Yeah.
That we're not thinking of that were really crazy and ridiculous, like the Zephyrs or the...
Yeah.
The Silly Billies or something.
Silly Billies. The Athletics. That one always struck me as kind of like just doesn't make you feel anything.
Where do you stand? Quickly, team names without an S at the end. The Magic. The Wild.
I like the Wild, not so much the... Yeah, not a big fan. Not a real big fan at all. All right, good job today, Jared Carlin. Thank you to Sarah Cazell. Thank you to Dave Pasch for joining us. Lots more shenanigans coming the rest of the week. Burns and Gamble coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.